I guess I'm on. Good morning, church. I've got a couple of announcements. First of all, it's time for Secret Sisters to fill out your forms there on the back, somewhere back there. So grab those today and get them filled out for the next year. The second is with a, you'll see a little Christmas tree with some cards on over here. So LifeWise is a organization for the kids at school to, the Christian kids can go and have some classes for themselves at, and the Northmore and Mount Gilead schools are both doing this. I don't know if any of you were at the Journey Through Bethlehem, you saw the LifeWise bus bringing people to Bethlehem, and so that's what they do. They take students who want to go from Northmore to over to Pleasant Grove and teach them there for part of the day. Life ends at. It says the number of students who sign up to attend is growing every week, so LifeWise is asking for our help. You can support a LifeWise student through prayer and a monetary donation. And if you are interested, please take a donation card off the tree. And that's what this tree is for. It costs $20 a month to for them to, because they have to pay for teachers and for bus driving to get the students over to the church. So they do need some help financially. So an attached there with the card is information about LifeWise students so you can pray specifically for them. Donation cards, if you're interested in doing that, pick one up today and return them to Jesse or Brittany and they'll get the card to LifeWise. So it's doing very well. There's over 150 students already from Northmore that are entered into LifeWise. I don't know how many of Mount Gilead, but it's going very well. And it's nationwide. I think it's something that's big. It's not just here in our county, but we want to support the kids who are taking part in it. And if all of you end up getting cards, we've got more to put up there, so don't worry about taking the last one. That's okay, because Britt has more cards to stick up there. So, but if you're interested in helping to support one, two, three, or four students, however many you can, it is a monetary gift per month to take care of a student. So that takes care of announcements. I titled the lesson, God.
Do you want to play the video?
Yes. we do have a LifeWise video. We'll show that now. Yeah, keep me lined up. I don't know what I'm doing.
This Christmas season, give the gift of the gospel.
Give the gift of the gospel this holiday season. In the season where Jesus is the focus, let the focus of our giving be about bringing Jesus to our youth. Our youth need truth, and they know it. They've been asking for guidance, for truth, and for answers. We know the truth and the answers they are looking for are Jesus, and LifeWise helps us get that message out. LifeWise is a release time education program in all four of our county school communities. Through LifeWise, we can teach kids the Bible during school hours. We believe this is an answer to prayer. We've been praying for strategies to reach the youth with the gospel, and now we can, during school hours. I cannot emphasize that enough. We can talk to and teach students about the Bible during school hours. We get to reach youth right where they are. It costs $20 a month per child to participate in LifeWise. This cost covers training, teachers, materials, and other things. We believe no child should have to pay to hear the gospel. That is why, this Christmas season, we are asking you to give the gift of the gospel and sponsor a child for LifeWise. Please join us in unity. You will see half sheets of paper and a sponsorship card. On the half sheets of paper, you will find an actual LifeWise please take one. Pray specifically over that child and their journey with Jesus, and that their little hearts find Jesus in such a powerful way, and their families. As you pray, let the Lord lead you in your giving. As you sow this gift into LifeWise, you know you are sowing the gift of the gospel into their lives.
I've titled the lesson for today, Children of God. We're God's children. And I actually didn't start preparing for today. He didn't give me a thing until, I think it was Saturday morning. I was just doing my daily devotions and spending some time with the Lord. And he was very clear that he wants you to know this morning that he loves us, that he loves you. He wants to show that through his word. He wants to show it through the church. So the church, and it talks in the Word of God about us being His children, about the church being His family. And so those are some of the things we're going to look at this morning. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." So we are His children. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning that You've given me a message for the church today, Lord. I thank You that You consider us Your children, Father, that You loved us enough that we're adopted into Your family. Father, that we belong to You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for all that You do for us, Father, and that the way that You care for us as a father. So, Lord, as I speak this morning, Lord, let it be Your words, Father, that I'll not get in Your way, but that You'll move and do what You want to do in the body of Christ today. And, Father, that we'll have ears to hear what You're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to actually begin in 1 John chapter. Yeah, I was going to begin in 3. Let me just read a couple verses that I noticed in chapter 2. So, the author of 1 John is John the Apostle. And he starts out chapter 2, he says, "My dear children." So I just noticed that as I was flipping over to 3. And it says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So, as I was doing my daily devotions earlier in the week, I came across this page that just fits in so well with this message, and it's 1 John 3:1, and we're going to go to 1 John 3 next after I get done. I'm going to read a little bit of this verse. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. In a culture that places a high premium on social status, wealth, appearances, pedigree, and titles, it's tempting to fear that we'll fail to measure up." And I've talked about this before, about comparing ourselves to others. We don't need to do that. "Since we are children of God, our culture doesn't get to define our status." So we're not defined by what we do. It has nothing to do with it. Jesus does. He's the one that defines our status. "Our worth was settled at Calvary when the sinless Son of God chose to die on our behalf so we could be reconciled to the Father. As recipients of such an act of grace, we have every reason to be the most joyful and thankful people on the planet. Our status as children of God means we have nothing to prove. There is no need for us to strive to climb a social ladder or attempt to show others that we measure up. Christians are called to bear fruit with the goal of bringing glory to God rather than ourselves. John 15:5. As people who have nothing to prove, we are free to live productive lives for the glory of God and in service to other people. So, we don't have anything to prove. We're children of God. Doesn't matter what family we grew up in. It doesn't matter what our status is in the community, but that we're children of God. The other things don't matter. And 1 John chapter 3, let's go there now, and I want to read verses 1 through 10. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. And no one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So it's up to us as godly people, as Christians, as the church, to love one another. I thank the Lord that you guys do a great job of loving one another. It's part of what we do, taking care of each other. Shepherds are to guide the flock, but the sheep take care of each other. And that's what the church does. That's what God expects us to do. We're to love one another, care for one another. The time that we spent with Jen and Tim and their family this week was just an awesome time. We were able to just go and share some time with them and spend an evening with them and just love them and care for them, and that's good. The funeral yesterday, for those of you who didn't make it, it was just a really awesome. The firemen did such a great job of supporting Stan. Stan's been on fireman for 50 some years, and so those guys they loaded the coffin up in the fire truck, and then the firemen and the fire trucks were in the parade going to the cemetery. There was had a guy there that was, I don't know if you know bagpipers, but he had his skirt on and dressed like a guy that does the bagpipes and played the bagpipes while they were bringing the body in. And then as we were closing, he was doing the bagpipes, and he faded away and walked away from the group, and it was just really cool. But the thing that really got to me the most was when at the end the chimes went off for the firemen, and it was, they said it was last call for Stan. Didn't need him anymore in the fire department. So it was pretty cool how they ended things up. And it was just a really awesome day. And it was just really neat to see how people came and cared for Jim and Jen and the family, for Mom and Kelly. And it was just an awesome day. But I love to see the church rally around and take care of each other. And that's what the church is for. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8 now. I just got a couple more scriptures today. I'm not going to keep you a long time today because that's not what God wants. He wants us to have a little time at the end to just to love on each other and care for each other. Romans 8, 12 through 17. Romans 8, 12. There we go. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Father, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. So as children of God, we become heirs. So we're heirs of everything that Jesus is heirs to. We've got quite a inheritance, if you will. Quite an inheritance. As children of God, we're going to, as Stan did, go to spend eternity with the Father. Our life here is short. I don't know how many of you realize how short life is compared to eternity, but it is very short. And we're going to spend eternity with the Father. Let's turn back over now to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and 19 through 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So as children of God, we also get the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, lead us in all that we do, so at the beginning of this year, I don't know how many remember, but in my devotions at the beginning of the year, the first day, it said, start each day with, help me, Holy Spirit. And I've been doing that this year. And it's been so fun. Just to pay attention to what He's doing during the day and listen to what He has to say and has to tell me each day. There's just little things through the day that the Holy Spirit brings to your attention for you to do. And it's an awesome thing. Now over in chapter 3, of Romans, verses 14 through 20. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family, and that's what the church is God's family, his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I wanted to end with that, these particular verses today, because he's praying for the church here, and as we kneel before the Father, and let him know that he is all powerful, that he is sovereign, our only God. Just let God know who he is in your life, that he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And you know, we can imagine a lot of really cool things, but we don't have any idea really what it's going to be like as we go to eternity and spend eternity with the Father. So, as we close up today, if any of you have needs, need prayer, we'd love to do that with you today. If there's anyone who has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you'd like to do that today, well, we give you opportunity for that as well. So as you go this week, keep in mind that you are children of God, that you are his beloved children. And as I thought about that, I was in a family of 9 children, but as I think about father and mother's love, your parents, how they love their children, and how Patsy and I loved our children, think about that and how your parents love you and how much more God loves you. You didn't all have that luxury like I did, like some of us did. I know some of you didn't enjoy your childhood, but God is different than us earthly fathers. Jesus came and he didn't sin, and he walked the earth and took care of things, so he's there with the Father now to intercede for us. To help us, and so we've got that to look forward to as we walk in newness with him. So, listen, worship leaders, come. You have a need. Why we're going to be here just in that moment.